This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with
Christine Wong.
I'm Vinny Raj.
We're going to be with you for a little while, until around 1 o'clock at least, anyway. So you've got 55 or so minutes because it's 12:05 p.m. here in the studio on Thursday, the 4th of February. Nice and sunny outside. I've got my English part out of the way. I've talked about the weather. Now we're going to talk about the right to repair. That's a discussion that we're having today. Would you repair a defective phone or tablet or get a new one? Why or why not? There's a big discussion happening over in the US. It's been going on for a while, actually. But we're asking you to vote via Twitter, if you can, at BFM Radio. And there's also that same question over on Instagram. It's at BFM Radio there. And if you want to discuss it with us, 018-789-8899. It's based on Arvin's story. Tell us a bit more about it before we get into the details.
It's about a movement in the US of how people might be repairing their devices moving forward instead of constantly buying new stuff.
Chris, what are you then talking about?
So I'll be talking about how Bebo, the 2000s social network, is coming back with a vengeance.
Wonderful. And then we're going to be wrapping up with how the pandemic has changed video content and consumption. Arv, take it away.
Yeah, so this story comes from Vice, and they sort of cover how there's a movement going on in the US where people want a right to repair their devices instead of tech companies and corporations constantly telling them that they have to swap it out for something new. So US corporations have done an amazing job the last few years driving bipartisan public interest in the right to repair movement. Last year witnessed monumental progress for the right to repair, including an expansion of an existing law that requires car makers to provide independent mechanics access to the same diagnostic tools used in dealerships. So you can't just monopolize it with your authorized, you know, service centers and stuff. A federal right to repair law was also considered for the first time in US history. 14 states are now in the process of introducing and debating new right to repair laws, even considering multiple laws that cover both agricultural equipment and consumer tech. So this is not just about you know, like basic tech, like phones and tablets and computers. It's also for big things in hospitals, you know, tractors that people use in the field and stuff.
John Deere was one of those names mentioned as well. John Deere, a huge producer of agricultural equipment. And you could only take your stuff to John Deere to be repaired.
Lots of other companies do the same thing. Apple is famous for doing something like that. American families, they say, would save $40 billion US dollars. So $330 per family per year if they repaired more products and use them for longer periods. That's, of course, in addition to the environmental impact of slowing the rate of expanding landfills. So this is quite interesting. So in Nebraska, Apple lawyers tried to claim that expanding consumer rights would turn the state into a hub for hackers. Not sure how. And also, the auto industry reverted to running ads that falsely claimed that the right to repair rules would somehow embolden sexual predators. Again, don't know how. It's fear-mongering.
Whatever fear we can throw at you is what we're going to try. Is what I said. Wow.
Like connecting the dots. Like this might happen, so that might happen, and eventually something else might happen. So companies largely just fear diminishing repair revenue and competition from independent repair shops and a loss of control, activists say. So as the pandemic pushes the nation's healthcare infrastructure to the brink, essential medical equipment has proven in some instances impossible to repair or legally repair because manufacturers enjoy a monopoly on tools and documentation and replacement parts.
Didn't we see something like this at the beginning of the pandemic for parts for ventilators and things? Certain companies were like trying to sue people who were trying to make a cheaper version of it, right?
Yeah, and also because if a machine breaks down, then the company wants you to go back to that company. And when you follow up, they could say like, oh, there's no more spare parts, or we don't manufacture this model anymore. So instead of repairing it for half the price, you have to swap it out for like a brand new machine. And it's these things are expensive. They're not cheap. Basically, they underline it by saying COVID has changed our relationship with technology, and it's obvious that laws need to catch up. We need devices to work and learn, but manufacturers won't provide tools or information even when their stores are closed. So unfortunately for corporate opponents of the movement, the more they attempt to demonize and derail such efforts, the more the public interest and attention grows. So that's what it's mainly happening there, but I think it applies to a lot of other countries as well. I mean, we face the same issues. Like, you can't keep a phone for longer than like X number of years before before you can, you know, you can't update the firmware anymore,
yeah.
I guess.
Mm-hmm. How do you guys feel about this? I mean, we're in an odd situation here in Malaysia as well, in terms of, for me and Christine especially, Christine I know is heavily invested in the Apple kind of ecosystem.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in and out of the Apple ecosystem, now back in it partially. Mm-hmm. But we don't have official Apple stores. So if we want something repairing, you know, you can take it back to these resellers,
yeah.
or you can take it back to other companies that do repair them. But because they are Apple products, they charge an awful lot of money. The odd thing is, if there were official Apple stores here, the cost of repairs would actually be cheaper. But it's also led me to, when I've needed something doing to my laptop, my Apple laptop, I've repaired it myself through a website called iFixit, which I'm sure you've heard of, which you can follow the step-by-step instructions, how to take your laptop to pieces, which parts to repair. But Apple already brought cases against iFixit for telling people how to fix their own laptops.
Because they don't like it.
Because they don't like the fact that, you know, it showed you how to repair your own laptop.
Yeah, and I'm not nearly tech savvy or graceful enough to even attempt to fix my own computer unless it's very, very simple, like, you know, turn it on and off sort of problems. So for me, I have no choice. Whenever anything of mine breaks, I have to take it to one of these resellers and pay quite a lot of money. But for me, it's a small price to pay to get to maintain the, you know, I'd rather pay to repair it than to pay to get a whole new device, which will cost me way, way, way more. Right? So I think for me also, you know, from especially in Asia, where you get a lot of those not necessarily legit accessories, right? So things like a phone charging wires and all the other things that you plug in and out of your computer. You know, I think that is also kind of a thing where, you know, we don't want to necessarily pay so much money for the branded, you know, versions.
Yeah, yeah.
But at the same time, because the cheap products are not good quality, then it leads to us damaging the technology, like, in the long run.
Yeah, so it's not worth, like, putting that those parts in your phone.
Yeah.
In your branded phone.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think for me, like, personally, it depends on what the device is. If it's a computer, then I'll get it repaired, especially, like, laptop and stuff. Phone, since I already always go for the mid-range stuff, so I think buying a new phone is kind of, you know, it's going to cost me the same thing. I might as well get a new one. But it's interesting because I remember, like, people like my granddad would never swap out his electronics for, like, a new thing in, like, 20 years. Like, he would constantly go to repair shops to get his, like, VCR or his TV repaired and stuff. And now, recently, over the last 15 years, he's had this complaint where he just cannot comprehend why no one repairs anymore.
Yeah. I completely understand that. I mean, I was brought up at home in a culture of that. In fact, that entire generation, I would say, it was like, something is broken, you learn how to fix it.
Yeah.
Even if you look at cars, you know, back then, it was, my dad was a kind, and, you know, mechanics back then, you fixed your own car. You popped the hood, you could see what was wrong with it. Now you pop the hood and it's like, what is that? I have no idea how I can do anything along how I can fix it.
Because you need someone to plug in, like, a laptop to your device.
Correct.
And the electronics to know what's going on with the car.
And that's the kind of rub, isn't it? That's the kind of double-edged sword that we live with right now. You know, we want tech to advance, but when tech does advance, it pushes some of us out of the way.
I mean, it could also be as easy as, you know, just offering the spare parts needed to fix a device in store, as opposed to having to take it to the back where the spare parts are hidden away.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, I'm just thinking about, you know, when I used to have a little Nokia handphone, you can just swap out, if your case breaks, just swap it out for a different case.
Right.
Easy, done.
Right.
You know?
Now it's like you take in your laptop or whatever it is, and this is broken. Oh, we need to send it to Hong Kong. We need to send it to Singapore.
Yeah,
we need
to
send it somewhere else. You're like, well,
it'll take 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Like,
who's going to be without a phone for 2 weeks?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, to come back to the point, though, you know, whether it's a phone or a tablet, if it's a phone and my screen is broken, I'll pay to get it repaired. You know, I won't buy a new one, obviously. But if it's a laptop, I'm more than inclined to, like, try and figure out if I can repair it first or find a way of doing it. But yeah, that's where we are anyway, right now. That's our discussion. 018-789-8899. Let us know what you think. Vote over on Twitter at BFM Radio. The options that we have are repair, buy new, depends on the repair price, and something else, other. Let us know what it is. That's at BFM Radio over on Twitter. We'll have some music from Marvin Gaye with Mercy, Mercy Me to take us into the break. We'll be right back with an expert's opinion on this in just a few minutes here on BFM 89.9.
Be free, Malaysia. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. We're talking about the right to repair today. Would you repair a defective phone or tablet or get a new one? Why or why not? Let us know. We have a poll running over on Twitter right now. What's the numbers at, Arv?
The numbers are at huge 60.3% for depends on repair price, which I guess is fair. 21.3% for buy new and 17.8% for repair. Juanwei says depends on the age of the device. Tech evolves quickly, which is true. Jeff My Food says repair if price is reasonable and most important to save all my data in the tab.
Chris, what have you got over there?
So on Insta Story today, we do have a poll, but the options are just repair or buy new. And repair is at 51% and buy new is at 49%. As for why or why not, we have a couple of responses as well. Let's see. Ivawa says, sometimes it's too expensive to repair, so they advise you to get a new one. Mm-hmm. Bailey Woon says, depends on the repair price. If it's pretty similar, I'll probably just get a new device. And Stephen HSL says, depends on how old the device is and the cost of repair. I'll buy new if the repair is beyond economical repair, and if the new device has a new feature that I want, then I would trade it in and get the new one.
Good point. I've got a few over here on WhatsApp. Hui Keith has said, I bought the new iPad Air since the daughter needed it for her classes and fixed my old iPad, and now I don't have to fight with her for it. Also, it means the new iPad doesn't need Netflix or YouTube as distractions. I've got another one here from Ro. He says, repair, everything deserves a second chance. It's a fairly good point here. Zaidi has said, hi BFM, if the cost of repairing is cheap, I'd rather repair than buy a new one. For example, I repaired my 5-year-old refrigerator for 280 ringgit, which had a motherboard problem. Thankfully, it was not a compressor defect, which would have cost me a bomb, so I saved 1,000 ringgit as I did not have to buy a new icebox.
Oh,
see, it's as simple as that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it when you can MacGyver fix a problem.
I have a question. Did you guys do like life skills classes or home ec or, you know, things that were practical classes
like
in
soldering
school
and stuff?
Yeah.
No, I just had my dad.
Ah, okay. Because I was about to bring up that, like, I've never really grown up with any sort of experience in fixing things by myself in terms of hardware. Software, I've kind of learned how to troubleshoot software relatively decently, but hardware is totally out of my jurisdiction, and I wasn't sure if that was a generational thing or not.
No, so it's funny that you should mention that repairing stuff for the people who know how to repair, it's largely modular. So once you get like a knack of it, you know that it's as easy as swapping out one part. I mean, not easy. I don't want to, you know, it's not like it's a skill, but if you know what to swap out, it's a bunch of parts that you can take out and put in again.
Interesting that you bring that up, because it made me think back as to, because I try and fix everything, right? And thinking back, it's all about, I remember going to my great uncle's, and he was a watch collector and a watch repairer. And I remember being sat in his shed as he was taking things to pieces and fixing them. And I think that's where it came from. You know, it's like, that idea of you can take anything and you know, once you learn the basics of it, you can pretty much fix most things.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, but that's enough about us. Let's hear from an expert. What have they got to say?
Yeah, so we got in touch with Jerome Tay, who's the co-founder of Second Life Asia. Second Life Asia is a device repair service provider that focuses mainly on Apple products. And we have Jerome on the line. So, Jerome, just like in brief, what are your thoughts on the right to repair movement in general?
Hi, Arvin. Thank you for reaching out to us at Second Life Asia. We in Second Life Asia are 100% behind the right to repair movement. We believe that consumers have the right to choose their repair partners to repair their out-of-warranty devices. Consumers should be given the choice to be able to go to a third-party repair partner, especially when the principal themselves do not focus on repairing the devices. Especially for Apple devices where their build quality are exceptional and many of the devices have longevity greater than 5 years. Thus, it's good to be able to have an option to repair down the road.
Hey Jerome, Rich here. How do you think this will impact tech companies and device makers in the long run?
We believe that the impact is positive for the tech companies and the device makers in the long run. The reason being is because all the device makers and the tech companies are keen on market share, are keen on gaining market share, right? So to have more devices in the market, even though they are older devices, is increasing their market share, whereby they can then focus on the software side of the business, whereby, for example, Apple Store and Google Play. So now you have more devices out there being able to download whatever software that you're trying to sell or applications that you're trying to sell. The tech companies and device makers are not just focusing on hardware, they are also focusing on the software and application side of the business. Just having more and more devices in the market, even though older devices, is a positive thing for them. That would mean more people to download the applications and games, that would, which leads to more dollars in their bank.
So, Jerome, do you think all electronic devices are safe to repair? Do you think a repaired device is as safe and effective as a brand new one?
It is quite safe to repair an ICT product, especially if we have a professional skilled technician. Especially for the Apple devices that have been repaired by our professional skilled technician who would have diagnosed, cleaned and tested the units. Those devices are as good as new and they've been given a second life.
So, Jerome, last question. Do you see this movement extending to other countries like Malaysia as well? Or are we already like a repair-centric country?
Malaysia is predominantly a repair-centric market, especially for Apple devices, because our GDP per capita is not as high as the other countries whereby you can just easily, just if it's damaged, you buy another one. So people still tend to repair and still tend to use their devices for more than 5 years. It is definitely a positive thing for Malaysia. The only drawback for this industry is that because it requires a certain specific skill sets, right? And these skill sets are quite limited in Malaysia. Thus, Second Life Asia in the future intends to build up the facility as well as a training center whereby we can train more local Malaysians to be able to repair Apple devices or ICT devices so that they can then go out, build their own businesses or work for other companies and spread the gospel of right to repair within Malaysia or within the region.
Yeah, so that was Jerome Tay, co-founder of Second Life Asia. And quite interesting because about the market share that he mentioned, the more devices in the market, whether they're old devices, new devices, devices from 10 years ago, it just means that that brand is in the market. Like you're still using their stuff, even if it's old. So why wouldn't they want you to repair?
Well, planned obsolescence, I guess, is, you know, they, like you said earlier on, they want you to buy more stuff, more of their own things. If you're repairing it and you're making it last longer than they intended for it to be used for, you're not buying the latest and greatest, right?
And they're more expensive.
Like our listener here, number ending 888, who says, hi, I'm Gilbert. Hi, Gilbert. He said, I feel a smartphone can only last for 3 years in general. Either the apps are improving and hence getting heavier, or the phone manufacturer secretly tried to make your phone slow, suspected by those software updates. The flagship models, 3 years down the road, it will start to lag, be a bit more sluggish, memory will get full, so on and so forth, making you frustrated and forcing you to feel as though there's a need to change a new phone. Also, the repair price is expensive. For example, a cracked screen will never be cheap, even if it's an older model. They don't manufacture the spare parts for the older models, hence they're scarce and they won't reduce the price. There you go. We've all been in that situation at some point, I think, you know.
I mean, I'm the kind of person that I'm lucky enough to be able to, if I am buying a new device, I can also immediately buy things that would hopefully help the like longevity of the of the device, you know. So for example, I have screen protectors on everything because I'm so paranoid because I'm the clumsiest person in the world and will drop my phone. and you know, even with being so careful, I've already cracked the screen protector at least, I think, two times since I've gotten my phone now.
I mean, there's one thing that irritates me is I think I have a second generation iPod and an iPad 2, which uses a very specific kind of old Apple charger. I cannot find them anywhere.
Yeah, I found my my old iPod Shuffle recently, and I was like, oh, I would love to see if it still works. And the charger doesn't work, and I can never find that charger ever again.
And if you do find a charger, like you mentioned earlier on, it's one of those dodgy ones that have come from somewhere you don't know where it's come from, and it's held together with bits of string and cardboard.
You're mildly afraid it's going to explode.
Yeah. You know how you can prove this, though, that vinyl players have become more popular over the last maybe like 7 to 8 years?
Yeah.
But you cannot repair those players with stuff from the old vinyl players, which technically you should be able to, let's say like the needle, you can't swap it out. So even then, with the newer products, you still have to go get these products from that provider or manufacturer, and with the specific kind of parts that are made for that model.
That specific model. That,
yeah.
Right. On that note, we're going to take a break, ladies and gents. We're going to come back and have an update from Bursa at break, and then we'll be moving on to the next story about Bebo, which is making a bit of a comeback. Music to take us into the break. It's REM with I Believe here on Enterprise Biz Bytes. And if you want to get in touch, don't forget the question that we're asking. Would you rather pay for repair or pay for a new product if something is wrong with it? Let us know via WhatsApp 018-789-8899, Twitter or Instagram. We're at BFM Radio. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.